Welcome along. Credit where it's due. The effort made by La Liga and the Spanish authorities since the latest depressing stage in the Vinicius racism saga has been better. There have been arrests, there have been partial stadium closure at Mestalla. Javier Tebas has almost conceded he was wrong when he criticised Vinny at the weekend. It was probably when Christ the Redeemer got involved and the whole of Brazil called the whole of Spain racist that he focused his thoughts. And then came Pepe Reina, essentially with Vinicius. If he was a nice, polite young black man, then people wouldn't racially abuse him quite so much. I know 40's old for a footballer, but he's not 90. Of course, the test for La Liga and for the rest of the Spanish authorities is what happens next time, because there will be a next time. Does it need the whole world to condemn them before they take the right steps? We'll read out some of the Patreon's messages. We'll get Terry's latest take, having been out in Spain for the last few days. Of course, the story is overshadowing the rest of La Liga at the moment, which is a great shame because the excitement, particularly at the bottom, is brilliant. Terry Gibson is a remarkable mathematician. He's got all of the permutations locked in his head. I'm hoping that there are six teams all on 40 points going into the final weekend. When you're covering Spanish football, doing your head-to-heads and fixtures is like doing your maths homework, and I haven't done mine yet.
Life's too short.
Before the deadline, I'll do it. But there are twists, such as Valladolid beating Barcelona, who eased up to such an extent that Marc-Andre Ter Stegen had to be substituted when his head exploded as he saw his record slipping away as defenders smashed the ball into their own goal and then smashed into opponents in the penalty area. Celta Vigo are furious after Girona were allowed to retake a penalty because a Celta player had thought about encroaching into the area. They had a point, but so did Espanyol. Their remarkable 3-3 with Atletico did include a goal in which the ball didn't enter the goal. It wasn't even that close. Oh, don't worry, we don't need goal line tech. The VAR will just have a guess. Nothing important will be resting on it. And congratulations to Real Betis. In a very hard-fought competition, they've surely won the red card championship. 15 is impressive, especially as they were second bottom in the fouls table, which shows a real dedication to getting sent off. Paseo was the late. He went in for the kick your opponent in the head move against Getafe, which was quality. The individual battle is hard fought as well. Terry, so we'll get to the football. There's been, you know, it's brewing up. Take away the very top. It's brewing up to a brilliant end of the season. I'm going to read out some of the patrons' messages in a moment, Terry, about the Vinicius racism saga. I mean, you've been out in Spain. I've got to say, you know, I want to give credit where it's due because they've taken some steps, and it's remarkable what they can do when the world condemns them. And then you suddenly think, yeah, okay. So yeah, let's say good, well done. Why didn't that happen before? Fair enough. But why is it going to happen next time? That's the big thing, isn't it? Are you ready for it? Are you ready to act next time?
Yeah, I must admit, I was surprised that the punishments passed out because I didn't think they were able to do that. That it appears they could. It's obviously focused their attention because it's Real Madrid and it's Vinicius. So you're talking arguably the biggest club in the world and a genuine superstar of world football. And that really focused their minds that the rest of the world, this is what the rest of the world was witnessing and seeing from La Liga. And it's not clearly not a good look. And I was looking at it during the week before the punishments, and I, according to me, I thought the way I understood it was the La Liga make their complaints, they have to be passed on to the Spanish FA, and then it has to go through the civil cases, so the police basically, and that was where the punishments weren't getting applied to. So I didn't see any way of how this was going to change. And then suddenly the Liga are able to hand out the fine to Valencia, shut down the stand behind the goal. And well,
suddenly those so bodies that, work together and then the punishments happen as they should have happened, doesn't it? So it's not, I think it was always a bit disingenuous to say, oh, the procedures aren't there. The procedures obviously are rubbish because there are too many stages and too many people can say, ah, no, don't worry about it at some point, which is what's happened in the past, isn't it?
Yes.
As we saw with Diakabi, who refused to take part. Because we've seen the players this week. If you haven't seen any La Liga this week, the players have been lining up behind a banner, haven't they, before all of the games, except Diakabi, who obviously was a couple of years ago, he felt he didn't get any support when he was racially abused after a game. So he, I think, very pointedly was sort of warming up near the banner. Him. So you could see he was there. You could see he was, you know, that he was making his point, wasn't he? So, yeah. So, I mean, there's a way to go. Shall I read these messages out? So Alison says, excuse me, it's difficult to put into words how angry I felt watching that match, seeing the images today of Vinny with tears in his eyes and shouts of Vinicius die directed towards him. It's heartbreaking. This racial abuse has happened yet again. Isn't even shocking anymore. It's just depressing. She says she's disappointed that Real Madrid players didn't walk off the pitch. Funnily, Tebas talked about that this week, didn't he? And said that only a few members of the team came to his aid on the pitch. Lucas Vazquez, or where was the captain, Benzema? I thought Lucas Vazquez and Courtois were admirable in their support, but disappointed in the others. Real Liga's reputation is going to suffer because of this. Why would you set Bellingham or Mbappe or any other player to transfer to a Spanish team when this is how they are abused with little or no consequences? The victim blaming also needs to stop. None of us could possibly comprehend the toll of the physical and verbal abuse that's been inflicted on Vinny's mental health, and how he reacts may be the only way he can cope. Jackie says, can't get my head around the racial abuse. Tebas's vile response to it. Who does Tebas think he is? How many times has Vinicius suffered the abuse, only to be gaslit by the former and made to feel like the cause, not the victim of the abuse? And Darren, I thought Tebas's response was disgraceful and makes La Liga look bad. If Vinny wasn't able to attend meetings, so what? You know, it's not hard for him to find a phone number and have a private chat. That alone is part of the problem, where the blame is being applied to Vinny for provoking. Tebas needs to realise that Vinicius is not just one of the most outstanding talents in the league, but also one of the most marketable. The La Liga promo video we see before every single game features only a handful of players to sell themselves, and Vinny is one of them. Anyone who loves the league knows how difficult it's been to stop the talent drain leaving Spain, particularly for the money of the Premier League. But if Vinny decided he'd had enough, didn't want to deal with the mental anguish of this, who could blame him? What's Jude Bellingham thinking of it all? So there's a, you know, I think it's a unanimous view, isn't it? That it'd be interesting to see, follow-up views as well, to see, I think they've done, as I say, I think they have taken the right steps in the last, how many, 3 days?
Yeah.
3 days. It's good.
It's a start.
It's not enough. Yeah.
No, it's a start. And it does repair the lackadaisical approach, I call it, to the racism that's been in La Liga. And it goes back a long while. And it doesn't happen every week. And it doesn't happen in every game. And it is a minority. But it's a minority that think it's okay.
Yeah.
And then when you have a high-profile game like Valencia Real Madrid, and it's a high-profile player, one of the highest-profile players and the highest-profile club, then it's worldwide attention. We have to stress that it's a fantastic league, fantastic country. But there has been this problem in La Liga for quite some time, and it's been that lackadaisical approach to the days of Samueta and Dani Alves, where nothing happened. And you know, it's not every game, it's not every week. Pretty much every team has black players now in La Liga. It is a multicultural football league, and players are welcomed, and players are embrace it, and players do like it. So, but this problem has to be eradicated. And as I say, that lackadaisical approach in the past isn't good enough. And now, because it was Real Madrid and because it's Vinicius, it's focused the attention of everybody. I asked for the players to get involved. They have done. I think they need to get involved more as well. And not just a banner for one game. It has to be, you know, some sort of... Because as I said, every team in La Liga have black players now. And it's been like that for quite some time. I mean, Valencia at the weekend, when their supporters were racially abusing Vinicius Junior, Valencia got black players. So Dier Carby, Fulquier, and people like that, what must they have thought from their own fans? So the whole thing, totally illogical. I agree with you. I think it is a good start, and it's far better than the approach we've seen in the past, but it has to be sustained. And it has to make sure that, you know, people understand that it's moronic. It's not the right thing to do. And when I say players have to get involved, supporters have to get involved as well. So if there is someone, point them out. You know, if there isn't one of these sworn in idiots behind the goal, that's racially abusing the player, point him out. Everyone knows it's wrong. So, you know, at the weekend, Vinicius was trying to point them out, and the Valencia players are dragging him away. And I agree, the Real Madrid players, in particular, it was Rudiger and Militao, were dragging him away as if, but they perhaps they should have made more of a stand for their teammate.
I think they were
trying to drag him away, keep him away from trouble and stuff like that.
I get that split emotion when there's an individual that you might, and he's your mate, you might want to protect him from it. And it's because it's difficult, isn't it? You know, because you are exposing yourself to a lot more abuse. That's the problem, isn't it? That if you do stand up to it. So I get that there is a split emotion there. I thought, as I said the other day, I actually thought Gaia and the Valencia players are probably the ones who needed to have stepped up the other day, because for them, that's their fans, isn't it? They're the ones with that authority. Gaia in particular, as the club captain and
yes,
you know, all of that.
Exactly.
He would have had a lot of authority to say, oh, this is not on.
It got uglier, didn't it? Because it appeared the Valencia and Real Madrid players were arguing with each other.
Yeah.
So that made it confrontational as opposed to, you know, unity. Yeah. In the two sets of players, you know, which ultimately eventually did lead to Vinicius getting the red card, which was rescinded and all that. So the aggro, it looked like when Vinicius was pointing out the abusers, it looked like the Valencia and Real Madrid players were arguing with each other. There was nothing for them to argue about, surely. There is the
Pepe Reina line is there, isn't it? Which is, don't cause any trouble. It's that, isn't it? It's the whole, well, if you just calm down, it would all die down. So, but obviously the problem with that is that involves the black player sucking up a load of racial abuse.
But yeah.
That's essentially, isn't it? That's what the white, you know, that's what Pepe Reina is saying there. Yes, there we are. So we'll see. Hopefully. We won't be discussing it very much again, but
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Yeah,
I really do.
Sometimes you've got to practice being brave. Sometimes, you know, for example, walking off a pitch, you have to think, I think, in advance, is that what you are you going to do that? You know, are we, Real Madrid or whoever, going to walk off the if some whatever, you know, 10 people at whatever ground anywhere, I don't want to start naming grounds, racial abuse, is that it? Are we off? And think about it. And you know, have the bravery, but sometimes you need to practice your bravery, I think, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Ah, right.
I'm hopeful.
Yes.
I'm hopeful this is a turning point.
Yeah.
Ultimately it is, because we're seeing the punishments. I'm hopeful in the future now it's a turning point.
Yeah, it's a potential turning point, an acceptance that it's
clearly wrong.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
There is an inevitability of action being taken, because that's punishment only works if you know, right? So that little gang start up with their racist stuff. Everybody else knows that there will be a punishment that will follow, stadium closure, points deductions, whatever. And then you start to get action as a result of that. So education, but also the sanctions. But the sanctions have to be inevitable. Otherwise, it just drifts on. And that, you know, like you say, you look back 10, 15 years, you think, yeah, that was happening to him then and nothing's really changed. Right. So who's going to get relegated?
Oh, yeah, no, thankfully to football. What we had is so much gone on, and I've split the league into Champions League. That almost looks done. Real Sociedad need a couple of points.
Yeah.
Villarreal do have the better head-to-head. So Real Sociedad need to get to 70 points, and they probably need to now because of the way Villarreal are playing. I think the Europa League is almost done. Betis have a better head-to-head over Osasuna and Athletic. There's a six-point gap, so that would be catastrophic if Betis lose both games and the other two win both. So that looks done. The Europa League Conference League is up for grabs still, and we've got 6 teams possible of doing that, 2 games to go. And then there's a 6-point drop from Rio on 46 to 7 teams that could join already relegated Elche.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the games coming up. So we've got Valencia 40, Celta 40, Almeria 39, Getafe 38 after that win at Betis, Cadiz 38, Valladolid 38, and Espanyol salvaged some sort of hope with that comeback against Atletico. They're on 35. So 7 teams could still be relegated with 2 games to play. And some of those teams play each other.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of six-pointers still to come, isn't there? So, yeah.
Forgive me if I haven't done the head-to-head. As I said earlier, life's just too short at the moment. The games are coming thick and fast. They start again tomorrow with the one game, Sevilla against Real Madrid, because of the Europa League final is played on Wednesday.
It's weird, isn't it? That's unfair.
All the games kicking off at the week on Sunday evening.
People pay the Patreons pay their money for us to do their calculations for them, Terry, and we haven't worked it all out.
I probably will do
for the last.
I will hope the information is somewhere so that I don't have to do it, and I can just cut, copy, and paste, and put it in my head.
If anyone's done it, there's loads of people writing about Spanish football. If any of you've done, come on, pull your fingers out.
Well, I think that we can't at the moment because there are one or two teams, Valencia and Celta, if they were to get, they're out of it. So then we don't know who we're doing the head-to-heads on yet.
Yeah, well, because there are thousands of permutations at the moment, aren't there? Because there are so many teams that could be together on the same point. So
at the weekend, the Almeria play Valladolid.
Yes.
Almeria on 39, Valladolid on 38. Valencia play Espanyol.
Yeah.
So it's Valencia 40 against Espanyol 35. I'm pretty sure we're going to have another relegated team in this round of games. So then it leaves one, because they kind of win. I mean, it's Valencia play Espanyol.
It's only Espanyol, isn't it? Is only Espanyol can go down? Yeah. I mean, Espanyol are in trouble. Should we talk about their game? It was one of the games of the season. A remarkable game with a huge, huge bit of controversy. But that's not a goal. I mean, for it to be a goal,
I thought it was a goal.
Has got to go in, hasn't it? Do you think it was in?
I did. I saw one still where I thought, I know it's not from above.
Yeah.
But I thought, that's over the line. I know it's not a great way to do it. Generally, it can be, is conclusive. And I actually thought it was over.
I
didn't think it.
It
was over on the first, in real time. I thought, that's not in.
I think misleading still, because I've looked at it and I've rock and rolled it, as they say, and you can't see properly because the goalkeeper's body is in the way of the main angle and the slow mo angle from behind the goal that Victor Sanchez. Oh, this will show us, I think he said. No, it doesn't. I just think it's remarkable that you're basically guessing. Well, it's better than guessing. That's unfair. But it's not. Of all the VAR, the controversy that's come with VAR, no controversy has come with goal line tech, because it just shows it's calibrated on one goal they got wrong in England, where they assure us they didn't forget to turn it on and getting the first one back after the lockdown, wasn't it? But I just think it's remarkable. I'm with Espanyol. Espanyol want the game replaying because they say it didn't go in. I mean, you can't. That's bad luck. You play in La Liga, they don't have goal line tech. But anyway, about the game, the comeback makes it feel good for Espanyol, but it was only a point and they needed more.
Yeah, and even when they were 3-0 down, they were playing okay. But Atletico were just efficient when they got their chances. They took them, and it was one trying to go through the goals one by one. Sal took his goal really well, and Griezmann with the ghost goal. Carrasco, you think, wraps it up straight after half-time with the third goal, and then they get three goals in 15 minutes, Espanyol. It's a lost cause, and they must have thought, well, we'll chuck everything at it now, we'll get the ball in the box, we'll start getting the ball forward quicker, we'll commit more players into attack, make some substitutions, and when they got the first goal from Cesar Montes, you're thinking, well done, they've got showing some spirit. And then when they get the penalty and they get the second one, then you're thinking, come back. And then you look at the supporters as well, who were demoralised at 3-0. They're watching the team sliding inevitably to being relegated, possibly on that evening. And then it was almost inevitable that they were going to get the equaliser. Atleti had no answer whatsoever. And they were a little bit wasteful in front of goal when it was 3-0. They overdid it, they overplayed, they didn't take the chances, and it just encouraged Espanyol to throw everything at it. To the extent, it was inevitable they got the equaliser, and I thought it was a matter of them getting the winner.
Still 15 minutes left or something, weren't there? Exactly. Well, 12 minutes left. Yeah.
and you're thinking they're going to win this, and then Atletico tightened up a little bit defensively and realised the seriousness of the situation and managed to scrape and every now and then attack and nearly score again as well. So I agree with you. It was one of the games of the season because the story of the game, 3-0 up, Atleti haven't been and don't concede goals normally and certainly don't concede 3 in 15 minutes. It's very unusual. And Espanyol did it. So it was the emotion of watching that game as well, that the supporters are demoralised. Then they're up, the players are up, the manager's up. The subs are being made. The ball's going in the box. It's crash, bang, wallop. The supporters are loving it. And then the emotion of it's only a point at the end of it.
Because it's too late. That's the problem.
So the roller coaster of supporters.
A month ago, you might have said, oh, that will fortify us. That will galvanise us and we'll crack.
Yeah.
But they needed more points because, you know, it's they need something remarkable to happen now, don't they? Because they're three behind. I suppose there are so many teams there above them that they only need to get above two of them. So,
we've got Valencia this next game away at Valencia. Yeah. So Valencia are looking at it and thinking, well, result against Real Madrid, not a great performance against Mallorca, but only lost 1-0. Their minds will be focused on what do we need if we win, they're safe.
Yeah, no one can get away, though, these teams, can they? Because, you know, a few days ago, we were saying, oh, Valencia, great result, all praise for Baraka, and then they go and lose to Mallorca, and they can't escape it.
And Celta is still out. Well, let's talk about Celta as well.
So do you... I thought there was a remarkably harsh retake of the penalty. What did you think?
I thought it was in the box. upper part of his body is across the line. He's the player that touches the ball, I think.
Yeah.
It's close, but I thought it was the right call. I think part of his knee is in the box and his upper body is in the box. And if he's the player that then gets the rebound, I wasn't surprised when it was ordered to be retaken, which is tough on the keeper because he makes a save. And next thing you know, he's one of his teammates has just strayed in. There's no, you can go in a little bit or you can't. That's okay. That's blurs
suppose,
the lines.
Yeah,
it's got to be. Those lines are there for a reason.
Yeah.
And as he's taking the penalty, half of his body is in the box. And that's,
fair enough.
And if it goes to him and he touches it, then it's always going to be retaken, I think. And rightly so. I think in the past it's happened and we haven't had.
Oh, yeah. People were yards in the box, weren't they?
I saw penalties where people were offside.
Yeah.
They were ahead of the ball when the goalkeeper was on the 6-yard box. He's thinking, it's a miracle that any penalty was ever scored in the past. It was like goalkeepers run out, didn't they, and dived on the edge of the 6-yard box. And it was like a player alongside the person that was taking the penalty. No, so the lines are there and it's not, he's only a little bit in it. He was in it.
I will concede that one because he is leaning into the penalty area.
Yeah,
and if you foul or handball leaning into the penalty area,
the line is the line exactly.
Yeah,
so I'm all for the advantage being to the penalty taker. Tough on the keeper because he makes a good save, and his teammate is in there, and it's has to be retaken. So even if he was in goal, makes a great save. Not many people say penalties from Stuani, and he was let down by Unai Nunes, wasn't he? It was the player that just slightly drifted in.
Okay. So Celta still
that one.
Still can't get away, can they? There still
will
be a remarkable relegation if they go down, considering, you know, they've been mid-table for all season.
Exactly. And they're lucky in this one. The goal from Carlos Perez is huge deflection. I think it's Romeo, a couple of Girona players, and a big deflection takes it past the keeper, and then they give away the penalty, and they're still in it. I mean, it is 4 or 5 games ago on 39 points. In that time, they've only won once in about 7 or 8, and that's the 94th minute.
I had
those scores, a header from open play where they chucked everybody forward. That's the only win. So, and for a lot of it this season, we've been saying how much they've improved under Carlos Carvajal. And we're looking and thinking, they're good to watch and this and that. And they've got good players. And all of a sudden you're thinking, they're still in it. They really are. What have they got this weekend? I'm looking, they're away to Cadiz. So that's another one of those games where don't be to lose that. Cadiz go above them. Getafe are on their tails now. And Almeria, they've got a a chance of staying up, and they play Valladolid. And then Valladolid play Getafe. So the situation of trying to work out who's going where and who's staying, how many points are needed, because Valladolid and Getafe play each other on the last day, so they both can't win, and a draw might kill both of them. Which means why you, hence, is the reason, the excuse I'm using for not doing the head-to-head. With
not
two
doing
games
your homework, before. Yeah. Valladolid against Barcelona, on the subject of people not doing their jobs. I mean, how much of this was Barca easing up? Valladolid played well. I'm sort of slightly tongue-in-cheek about, you know, Ter Stegen fury. But he's genuinely not happy, is he? But, you know.
Oh, God, no. It started with the Espanyol game when they were 4-0
up. Yeah.
And they conceded two. And before they conceded two, he was pulling off save after save. And you could see him saying, "Will you lot liven up?"
Yeah.
In front of me. Players went off injured and haven't returned. So Araujo is a big loss.
Mm.
It's not the usual back four that we've seen all season. Xavi is trying to manage a team which understandably have dropped their motivation levels, and even if you drop it a little bit, you're going to, against a team that is fighting for their lives, it's going to be a problem. So I think the personnel is a problem. No Pedri, no Araujo. Gavi came back for this game, but he's not playing particularly well. Busquets was rested. It looks like I understand they're not training as much as they have done. And it looks like that at the moment. And they play Bob Mallorca at the weekend. I guess that's going to be the last game for Busquets in the Camp Nou. And I'd imagine that they're going to be irritated by the fact that their last couple of games have been poor.
Mm.
And they don't want to finish the season like this, losing at home to Real Sociedad, conceding goals and getting thrashed, to be honest, by the... when I looked at the team from Valladolid, I thought, this looks promising. You know, they've been playing a back five or three at the back, and this player here and this player there. And I looked at the starting 11, I thought, this is clearly their best. This is the best system, and their best version. And I'm looking at it and thinking, yeah, no, this they could do something. And you look at Dawid Matisse and Larin and Plata up front. I think they've really got real good potential there. Carl Larin has been impressive since he joined in January. Without his goals, Valladolid are down, clearly. They need one or two others to score. Remarkable, I don't think Matisse has scored this year. Plata, I think, was his first goal. And you look at them as players, and you think the front three, they're really, you know, quick, skillful, get crosses in the box. Larin is good when those deliveries are into the penalty area. Aguado, Roque Mesa and Oscar Plano in midfield. It's all attacking midfielders. So I thought, yeah, no, Valladolid had a chance in that game. But they had lost five on the trot. So confidence and morale was going to be really low. But of course, they were given a massive boost in the second minute when good build-up, get the ball out wide, incredible cross into the box. Christensen has to get something on it because Larin is behind him. And he's obviously intending to head it back away past the near post.
I was debating this with my son is a centre back, and he had sympathy for Christensen, and I was saying, "Yeah, but don't head the ball into your own net. I mean, you know, ultimately, do something other than head the ball into your own net." That's an oversimplistic approach to the game, there.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, he's running back; he's got to dive and head it, and I guess he's trying to head it to his left, but doesn't get enough on it. Doesn't get near enough to the ball, so it deflects and flies into the corner where the far post is. But he was aware that Larry was behind him and going to score, probably, from that distance. The cross does all the damage.
Yeah.
Lovely diagonal pass.
So he showed him, didn't he? Larry didn't score, did he?
Cross, yeah. And the cross was Dawid Matisse, and that just gave them a boost and probably a realisation early in the game that the team they were facing didn't really have the appetite for the fight. So from then on, Valladolid swarmed all over Barcelona.
Mm. Right, so let's rattle through the games. Although Betis 0, Getafe 1. Again, just when, you know, the twists and turns in this relegation battle are brilliant, aren't they? Because just when you're sort of thinking, Getafe have messed it up, they get a win, helped by the red card, 15th red card.
Yeah.
Is remarkable.
And it came about because Papa got a red card for Sevilla.
Yeah, so they needed to stay ahead.
Needed another one. remarkable how those two teams.
Yeah.
So many red cards, and Betis in particular. I think there's one in it. I think they were level going into that game, Betis. So they decided that Pizzea would get the red card and get himself sent off in the 78th minute. What a goal, though, from Alderete.
Yeah,
lovely header, wasn't it, for a corner?
Yeah.
Good delivery, which is not always the case from most teams, to be honest. And he's run unopposed and powerful header. It was a classic big centre-half going up for the corner and doing his job. And, you know, it's a massively important win. And again, Betis, I made the point when I was away this week, but every time I seem to go back, the last three visits, Betis have just deteriorated. The first time I went, say probably 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago, I predicted Betis to finish top four. The second time I went, I don't think it's going to be Betis now. I think it's going to be Real Sociedad. They've just picked up form, and maybe Villarreal. And then this time I've been back, and Betis, they're happy now. They've scraped into the Europa League. So their form in the last 3 months is the form, the results, the points they've picked up. They've gone from a team that probably should have been, I think they've underachieved. I'm not saying they should have finished top four, but I think in the three or four games to go, we should still have been talking about Betis challenging the Real Sociedad. But that gap has turned into 12 points in no time whatsoever. So Real Sociedad on 68, Betis on 56. And yeah, how that's happened, I don't know. So I think when you look at the results Betis have had in recent weeks, lack of goal scored, lack of a goal scorer, Borja Iglesias is not playing particularly well. Iosi has come in and done okay, but Fekir is missed. So they rely on key players, don't they, Betis, in attacking positions, and when they're not at their best, the team suffer. So it's I still stand by the fact that I think Betis have underachieved. And Getafe, I'm not going to say they deserved it in this win. Gene is playing central midfield. There's one or two players left out. You're thinking they lost Eddie Zunal early in the game, which appears to be as if he's going to be missing for the rest of the campaign with the type of injury that he hobbled off with. So that's a massive blow. But they're still in there literally fighting. Yeah. And ironically, it was Betis who had the red cards and not Getafe.
Yeah, 0.5 XG for Getafe. It's not exactly the attacking approach, is it? I tell you who does score goals, Nicholas Jackson, two against Cadiz. We've talked about him recently anyway, haven't we? But, I mean, Cadiz contributed to their own downfall in this game, didn't they? Some really sort of sloppy attacking.
Oh, Pacho Espino as well.
Yeah.
Who's normally really, really good, normally reliable. So I'm not going to sit here and hammer him. If I'm not going to do that, I probably shouldn't have singled him out. But he did make unusually for him a couple of mistakes. And Nicholas Jackson has got 9 in his last 9. If you remember the last game against Girona, he made both the goals in the 2-0 win. So it's remarkable how, to the extent that Joe Moreno is really going to be playing, he's going to be out wide on the right. Because you can't replace. And two really good goals again. I mean, he looks to be the real deal, doesn't he? And it's every attribute you look for in a striker. He's scoring goals. He's all-round player. He's good. He's quick. He's strong. He loves running in behind. He looks to be a brilliant player. I mean, his progress is remarkable, isn't it? From last season to this season, and even during this season.
Yeah.
And a player that they nearly sold, of course, to Bournemouth.
At the time,
when Bournemouth were buying him, I was thinking, they're paying what? Because at the time, he wasn't a regular, and he wasn't scoring lots of goals, and I think he was selling like 20 million. You think, oh, I'd like to see a bit more of him before I paid that sort of money. I wasn't proved wrong until the last 9 games.
Yeah.
And he's come into the team and looks...
Bournemouth will be back onto them. Can we have him for the price that we agreed in January?
Yeah. And whether it's a streaky run that a lot of forwards have from time to time or not, I don't think so, because he's... All the other attributes look really good as well.
You know,
his first touch, his power, his movement. So it's a player now, VRL. Wouldn't sell. Why would you sell him? So
Right. What else have we? What haven't we talked about? So, Real Madrid's game actually we haven't talked about, have we? As the actual game, and late goal from Rodrigo to win it.
He only scores late goals, doesn't he, Rodrigo? I can't work out why that is. Is he super fit and everyone else is tiring and he's fit, or does he save himself for the last moments? But rather, Thomas, when he equalises, he probably, and Ryan and him probably think they get unusually get something at a Bernabeu because they don't normally. And they probably deserved it, actually. The honours were even in this game. I think it was a really tight game. And it was not a surprise to see Real Madrid still the winner in the last moments, but it was it was an interesting game, overshadowed by the fact Vinicius was able to play but not able to play because of injury. It was probably and we saw the support from the crowd and Florentino Perez, but in general it was an okay game. It was nothing brilliant. Real Madrid did what they had to do to get the win and just about enough motivation. Once you get going in a game, it's hard to motivate the Real Madrid and Barcelona players at the moment. Atletico have got that motivation of finishing above Real Madrid. So that's what's keeping them going. But it's hard to motivate them before the game, especially when you make one or two changes. And then the players get going. And then you have that competitive nature that is in all these players that eventually it kicks in. For Barcelona, it was too late. They were already 1-0 down and then 2-0 down after 20-odd minutes. So but for Real Madrid, that... trust me, when I've been coaching at clubs and Northern Ireland, you put an 8-a-side on, there's nothing worse than refereeing that as the coach, because everyone's arguing, everyone's moaning at you, and they want to win that with nobody watching. So the professional footballers do have a competitive element that we underestimate. And when you've got 60,000, 70,000 people watching you, and you get that competitive. Benzema gets a nasty knock on the foot, doesn't he? Stitches and comes back on and plays the rest of the game. So they do have that competitive streak. And Real Madrid showed that just enough to get the win against Ryan.
Osasuna beat Athletic 2-0. Sevilla got a draw at Elche after that early red card, as you mentioned, for Pep Gay. And what was the other one? Oh, yes. So that's the sort of the race for the last European place, isn't it? Which is also hard one to call, isn't it?
Yeah, and Osasuna have been flying. And what a terrific season at the moment. They're seven.
I hope they get it. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got the... Yeah, also because they're finishing runners-up in the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
So a merit they've had to, out of those teams that are chasing it, clearly have had the better season. I mean, Athletic, they beat Athletic in the semi-finals. They've got... And the atmosphere was great, wasn't it, in the stadium? Genuine rivalry between the two sets of supporters.
Yeah.
But a healthy rivalry. And it looked like a team that you switch on the game, you think, yeah, I know the rivalry between the two teams. And it was recently you had the Copa del Rey semi-final that happened between the two of them. And Athletic probably are seen as the bigger club and the more successful club, of course. And Osasuna wanted to show them full house, and it was the atmosphere was intense. Really, really good game. Budimir is another player that's come good in the last few weeks as well. Didn't really score a lot of goals in the first 20-odd matches or so, but he's come into form. And he will argue that he probably wasn't playing enough when he wasn't scoring goals, and he was coming off the bench, and it was Kike Garcia and Jimmy Avila were playing instead of him. So, no, they looked like a team that were fully motivated, not only to qualify for the European Conference League, but I think just to beat the Athletic Club. And it was a really good performance from Osasuna.
Yeah.
It was a good team.
And Real Sociedad got the win against Almeria. Takakubo.
Yeah, a left-footed finish into the top corner. And I was working with Andrea Rolendi. And we all know that Real Sociedad have lots of... They had eight in the starting 10 outfield players that were left-footed. So... plenty of arguments when it comes to taking corners and free kicks. It was on that footed ones. Most teams struggle. You know, they might have one or two, three or four at a push. To have eight out of 10 outfield players are left footed. I wonder what the impact is on when teams play against that. We don't, I know we get more often than not eight out of 10 outfield players are right footed. I get that. But then all of a sudden it's switchy. It's like the boxing, isn't it? The orthodox and the southpaw, and it allegedly it causes massive problems. And what happened in this game? They allowed Takekubo to cut in from the right onto his left foot. Dreadful defending. I think Samuel Costa, who just goes to ground and slides without Takekubo even throwing in a dummy. So he just drifts inside. He's getting towards the edge of the penalty box. It's not as if he pulls his left back foot back to shoot. He doesn't. Samuel Costa slides, and then Takekubo thinks, ah, I'll have another touch there. The space has opened up, and he's still got to put it in the top corner. And he's been terrific. And I've got to learn quite a lot about his personality over the last couple, particularly this season, where he's been playing more often. And he's a brilliant personality. He's really fun to listen to interviews after the game. He's found a place which is suits him, and he's found a place where he's appreciated and wanted. He's a terrific, terrific young player. Really is.
I'll tell you a couple of things we need to do. We need to do a sort of transfer targets podcast as well at the end of the season. And also we'll start on the teams of the season soon as well, because we are finally getting close to the end of the season. Yeah. So, yeah. And
I've seen the out-of-contract players in Spain this year. There's some really good players on that.
Yeah.
Surprisingly as well.
Yeah.
Then you think, because mostly, normally it's the older group. But there's a lot of players on there, this one that you think, oh, blimey, that's a good age. Didn't realise he was out of contract. I think Raya was suffering.
Yeah.
From now, I heard recently Santi Comesaña, Catania have been two of their best players. And Comesaña allegedly is all done and dusted to go on a free to Osasuna out of contract. Yeah, okay. So there's a lot of players. I guess we're coming to an age now, a period in football where clubs didn't used to want to give away people on free transfers, did they?
Yeah.
They did everything. Mm. There was no signings, so we can still get their transfer fee. But now the salary is as much as transfer fee.
Mm.
So it's, oh, do we give this player £2 or £3 million a year and keep him so we can sell him for £2 or £3 million? Let him go. And that's happening with clubs in the Premier League, where it's even more significant that they have to look at it. That player might be earning £5 million and think, what if we sign him? We can sell him for 10 or 7 or 8.
Yeah, but you might not be able to.
You might not be able to. So let him go. Mm. Yeah. And the salaries are a massive issue now. And I think that's reflected in the free transfer list this season of players out of contract in La Liga.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do a pod on that. If you want to be a Patreon, patreon.com/LTEL. I think Aiden is the latest. We need more. So get involved. We'll still do some general podcasts over the summer. And of course, we've got more to go because the season is still going on, and we've got to find out who particularly stays in La Liga. Terry, for now, thank you.
We got 9 games at the same time on Sunday, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not sure how it's going to be worked out. And then we don't know the fixtures for the following week yet, which ones are going to be separated. Yeah. I like how they do it. Frustrating for a fan that
to try and go to the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 or 3 days before the game, you don't know actually when your match is. So I think they're all kicking off at the same time on Sunday, apart from Sevilla, Real Madrid, and then we'll work it out for the next week.
Right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Enjoy your football over the course of the weekend, and we'll see you for another podcast next week.